This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
The Feast of St. Ignatius Loyola is July 31st. I know it's early, but I may not get another opportunity to preach again this month. So I want to pray St. Ignatius's prayer, a line from which was inscribed on my ordination card. And so, please pray along with me in your heart. Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all that I am and have. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That's enough for me. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning again. It's nice to be back. I know Father Marty has been using a stand over there, and I did myself the last time I was preaching, but I thought since we were all back and back to normal as much as possible, I go back to using the pulpit at 9:30. Last week, I was down in Marathon in the Keys, and I bring you greetings from the people of St. Columba Parish in Marathon. They are forever grateful for all that St. Joseph's did for them after Hurricane Irma. Not only did we help them financially, but a group of you, led by Reverend Wendy, went down there on a mission trip and worked in so many hands-on ways. So to bring you up to date, since then, St. Columba's, under the leadership of Reverend Deborah McConaughey, rented, I think, 100 trailers and gave the use of them to families who had lost their homes in the storm. And more recently, they bought and renovated a building into 16 affordable apartments to help workers to stay in Marathon instead of having to move up to Miami to look for apartments. They also operate a used furniture and clothing store, and they're in the final stages of rebuilding and renovating St. Columba's Episcopal Church, which was badly damaged in the storm. Now, I'm saying it's in the final stages because that's what Reverend Deborah said to me, but I was there, and it's currently a construction site, believe me. But they have great faith that it will be finished by October. So if you are in the Keys this summer, do stop into St. Columba's and Marathon. You will find a warm welcome and a big thank you. Well, it was great to be on vacation last week, but I'm always happy to come home to St. Joseph's. And home is a theme today in the readings. In our first reading, Samuel and others are worried that they have not built a house for God. But God assures them that it is God who will provide for the people, and not the other way around, and God who will build a house for David from which will come the Messiah. Ironically, the Israelites have already tried and failed at this. At Babel, they built a tower that would reach to the heavens, but they were building a temple to their own glory. God scrambled their languages and put some limits on their ambition. Unfortunately, they and we didn't learn from that story. And so we continue to use our considerable building skills in various ways. Some good, some not so much. For example, we build walls, real ones and internal ones. We build walls to protect and shelter, to mark boundaries and to defend them. But in fact, in building the walls, we also segregate ourselves by customs and habits, by religions and ideologies. The distinctions get finer and the walls grow more numerous. Ever creative in our pride, we begin to build walls to the glory of our own distinctiveness, and then we convince ourselves that God dwells within our own particular boundaries. I don't know if anyone here has unfriended someone on Facebook in the past few years because of political differences, but I did. And I am not proud of that. Into the midst of this situation comes Jesus. And as we read in Paul's letters to the Ephesians today, Christ has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. Languages and nations, Christ proclaims peace to those who are far off and those who are near. David reminded us, David, our musician, our director of music, not David of the gospel, of the Bible, although David is sort of the Bible, he reminded us of this with the hymn he chose for the 4th of July. This is my song, I wish I had Father Marty's voice. This is my song, O God of all the nations, a song of peace for lands afar and mine. This is my home, the country where my heart is. Here are my hopes, my dreams, my holy shrine. But other hearts in other lands are beating with hopes and dreams as true and high as mine. As we read in Paul's letter to the Ephesians today, Christ, and I quote, has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. Languages and nations, Christ proclaims peace to those who are far off and those who are near. Religions and ideology, Jesus was prepared even, and this is stunning, to abolish the law with its commandments and ordinances in order to create one new humanity. Gay and straight, brown, black, or white, Jesus takes down whatever walls we have raised to create divisions among us. Insiders and outsiders, the walls come down. Citizens and foreigners, the walls come down. Republicans and Democrats, yes, the walls come down. In Christ Jesus, all the walls come down. And Jesus isn't just doing demolition work here, demo day, like Chip Gaines and Fixer Upper. I love that Fixer Upper thing, by the way, and I love Chip Gaines, sort of like 10 years old inside. But Jesus is working to raise a new structure, to join us together into a holy temple. Jesus is working to reverse the curse of Babel, first by healing our divisions, and then by creating a new tower. This tower, though, is built to God's glory. Instead of striving to reach heaven from earth, this temple is built to invite the presence of God among us, to make us a dwelling place for God. Paul tells us that Jesus does this through his own body. In his flesh, he has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. On the cross, Jesus accepted the full weight of our pride and our contention, allowing his own body to be broken in order to show us the folly of our divisions and hostilities. But here again, the story does not end in mere destruction. In the resurrection, Jesus acts to reconcile all our dividing factions to God. In a sense, this is a natural extension of Jesus' work of bodily healing throughout his earthly ministry, which we heard in the gospel. Jesus is healing more than bodily illness. He is healing division and exclusion. Those who were sick could not exercise their own abilities to meet Jesus. They had to be helped by others. They felt excluded. They felt that people didn't see them for the human beings that they were. So in fact, in Jesus' healing, he is creating a new body, not just for those people, but for everyone. Teaching and healing, Jesus begins to assemble a new community bound by faith in the nearness of God. In the cross and resurrection, Jesus consummates all his work of teaching and healing. He shows himself to be present even in surrender and suffering and death. He surpasses all those ills in the resurrection of us into the body of Christ. And so we are all joined. We are all invited to join with the apostles and the prophets in their self-giving role of building this new and holy temple with Jesus. More, we are invited to hold each other up in service, in prayer, and in worship, even as the stones of the temple together bear the weight of the entire edifice. Amen.